Thankful for tonight, starting this new series. I've been looking forward to it, praying about it, and just asking God to use it in our lives. You can go ahead and turn your Bibles to Psalm 139. Psalm 139 is where we'll start off tonight. As we think about all the things going on in our world, you know, this series, I'm trusting, will help us get our hearts and minds where they need to be every day. As Jim Berg, who wrote this curriculum, he is a great teacher, great counselor there on staff at Bob Jones. I think he's still on staff there, but has pastoral duties as well in a local church. And just so thankful for his ministry. But, you know, he even said himself about this lesson that we'll go through with this series, this subject of taking time to quiet your soul. He said it's not a 12-step program. It's not some formula that's being offered that if you follow these steps, you're guaranteed success or victory. It's not written in that way. And I'm thankful because you can't find anything like that written by man. It just doesn't exist. Men try to do that. But I do believe in the end result, when men try to push everything into a formula, it actually brings bondage. When you follow man in that way, that's why we put the emphasis on the Word of God. Now, man has some good ideas and some practical aspects. We understand that. But I like what Jim Berg said. He said, your spiritual success will depend upon whether or not you have fellowship with God. It's that simple. Now, what he does do is he goes through and gives us all the different angles that we can look at in the Word of God and the different challenges that we face in today's world. But that's what I'm hoping. Now, I did not bring the book with me, but I will go ahead and tell you. The book has a study guide. We're not using the study guide. It would just take a very long time to go through and fill out all the blanks. It's an interactive study. If you would like to order it, it is at Christian Books Distributor and Amazon and Bob Jones Bookstore, where you can order the study guide. Now, if you would like to do a more in-depth study of this series that we're going through, I'd encourage you to order the book. It is about $25, probably looking around $30 maybe after shipping. But it is, again, the information that we're going to go through. But I do encourage you, if you have time, it is worth it. I actually have a study guide. When I was preparing this, I ordered all the things that go with it. And not only does it have a study guide, but it has that you can also order as an option. You can actually order Jim Berg teaching this series. It was about 10 years ago. That he did that, I believe. You could do that. Also, it has it on audio. And here's another thing that I like about it. They also sell a CD with meditative music. Basically, music that you can play in the background while you meditate on scriptures. And just working on exercising of quieting of the soul. And so there are some practical things there. And again, if you'd be interested in that, I didn't have the book with me, and I didn't exactly write down. But actually, if you look on the bottom, there you go. If you look on the bottom of your outline, you can see down there, www.quietinganoisysoul. And, they'll show you where you can get more information on that and, be a help to you. And so we're using these by way of permission. I got written permission to use the outlines here. And I'm going to teach through Jim Berg's study guide, basically, is what we're going to do together. So why don't we start off with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you for this evening. I do want to thank you for, Lord, your love for us. I think about the very fact that we're all here tonight as a result of your love and your grace and your mercy. And Lord, we are grateful that you are an almighty God who is worthy to be adored, worthy to be obeyed, worthy to be submitted to, worthy to be trusted. And God, we confess tonight that we are weak people. And Lord, what we need is you. And so God, help us to discipline our hearts and minds to just stay upon you and not to complicate and be lured by Satan's tricks and his traps. Lord, oh God, deliver us from that. Help us to walk with freedom. Lord, with peace. Lord, God, with your power on our lives. And so, Lord, would you bless this study now as we look to you and your word. By the power of your Spirit, we pray great things will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I also want to welcome those that are tuning in live stream. Appreciate you being faithful. I have people tell me often that Pastor wasn't able to make it there on Wednesday night, wanted to be there, but due to different circumstances are not able. And so thank you for making that effort. So you're there in your Bibles. If you're just coming in, if you would go to Psalm 139, and we're going to just take a glance at verses 23 and 24. The Bible says here, and this is something I want us to do before every lesson, is to at least apply our hearts to this truth. And notice what it says in Psalm 139, verse 23. The psalmist says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now, the title of this study is Taking Time to Quiet Your Soul. And it's also termed as quieting a noisy soul. And that's the theme of the study, is trying to figure out what it is exactly, and by the way, it's going to be different for each of us, what exactly is it that's causing all the noise in our life? Noise that distracts us from focusing and trusting and depending upon the Lord. And that's where I believe this study will direct us and guide us. And that's what we're going to focus on. But notice this, these two verses here. The first word I want you to draw your attention to in verse number 23 is the word thoughts. He says, "And know my thoughts." I hadn't realized this until I was preparing for this series. But that word thoughts there, if you look at it in the Hebrew, it actually means disquieting thoughts. It means noisy thoughts. Those thoughts that just clutter and distract and are burdensome to our walk with the Lord. And that's what David is saying here. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." Know those things which are troubling me. And then let me draw your attention to the next word that I'd like to see here. And that is where he says, "And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." The word there, "in the way everlasting." He's asking the Lord, "Lead me in that way which focuses on eternal matters." Focuses on eternal matters. That is the goal. And that is what we want to go through in life, because that's what happens when we get distracted and our lives get filled with noise. Many times it's distracting from that which is most important. And so what do we do to combat that? And he's going to see. So then we see here the way everlasting. But then look at that there where it says wicked way. Again, I did not really see this until preparing for this message. But it's very interesting that word wicked way there, it refers to pain, a painful way. That word wicked, if you look at it in the Hebrew, means to be painful and sorrowful. And so if you notice the connection here, David is indeed crying out to God saying, "Lord, look at my life and Lord, look at these disquieting thoughts, these noisy thoughts that are distracting me from focusing on eternity. And Lord, these ways that are causing pain in my life." Pain. You know, sin causes pain, doesn't it? When we experience, like he's just saying here, wicked ways, these are things that are going to cause sorrow, not only to me, but when my thoughts are wrong, I not only hurt myself, but I hurt others. And I do believe that that's what we're going to focus on, is getting our thoughts where they need to be. Now, that's challenging, isn't it not? Is there anything in going on in life that you guys can think of that may be troublesome? Anybody want to just think of anything? I mean, seriously, let me hear something. What's something that's troubling right now to you personally? All right, politics, what else? COVID, what else? Anything else troubling? You know? Election, okay. What else? Anything else? But you get the idea. There are plenty of things that are troublesome to us. In fact, well, I'm not going to have you turn there, but in 2 Peter, Timothy 3, we know that Paul brings up the idea of perilous times shall come. Shall come when? You remember when he says when the perilous times should come? When should they come? In the last days. And he goes through a whole list of the different sin and wickedness that will prevail through the land in the last days. And it is very, very clear to me from the Word of God and looking at our world. We're in the last days. And you know, you say, well, boy, that just sounds kind of gloomy, Pastor. Well, I don't think it sounds gloomy. I personally am encouraged and excited because that means we're closer to the coming of Christ. Amen? I mean, it's getting closer. But we do know as the time gets closer, we do know that times will be more and more troublesome. It will get more difficult. I believe that the days ahead of America, there are going to be some difficult days ahead. And we need to prepare for it and do our best to be the light of Christ all the way till the Lord calls us home. And I believe that great revival is going to happen in this land. I do believe that many more people are going to be saved. That's my prayer and my cry to the Lord, and I hope it's all of ours. But the fact of the matter is, we are in some unstable times. I think of all the instability, all the uncertainty. I think of the different liberal agendas that are out there. Revolving around homosexuality and that agenda that's being pushed. And I think of the sanctity of life always being threatened and always being attacked. I think of just the adultery that's taking place through the land and the numbers of divorces like never before. And this is not to make anybody feel bad here, but it's just the truth. We're just seeing the prevailing of sin in our lives that causes great concern. And so how can we say, Lord, still our hearts and help us to be stable during these times? And I think we're going to see that. I honestly do. But whether it's politics, whether it's sickness, whether it's personal with our family, we know the Lord has the answers. Now, this study will be four sections. It's about 28 sessions, so we're going to work through it. Sometimes we can double up, but we're going to try to move through it. And I encourage you to be here each Wednesday night. I also encourage you to invite folks because each session will have a different angle. And as we look at it together. But the first section is the way down. That's kind of what we're going to start with tonight. Session one is noticing the noise in your soul. Then we're going to get in the next section. We're going to get the way back and then the way out and then the way ahead. That will be the four main sections. But notice tonight, it's going to be noticing the noise in your soul. Now, while you're there in Psalms, I'd like you to go ahead and go over to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, first book of the New Testament there. If you're just coming in and don't have a handout, there are some in the foyer along with a prayer guide. But go over to Matthew chapter 11. And Brother Jim Berg is going to bring out some wonderful points about this passage and that setting the foundation for the study. But notice in Matthew chapter 11, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 28. The Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Wow, what comforting words from our Savior, Jesus Christ. And he is dealing with a crowd that no doubt is a mixed multitude. One of the probably one of the crowds that is found there is probably your religious crowd. You had some Pharisees there. They're self-righteous people. And you have to admit, they were definitely loaded down with some burdens. You ever thought about trying to keep all the laws of the Word of God and keeping them perfectly? And that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to have an outward conformity, and they were just burdened down. But Jesus was also talking about His disciples. His disciples, I believe, were in this crowd. And no doubt, I believe the main message can be to people who are without Christ, who are trying to work their way to heaven. And Christ says, look, you need to stop that, because you need to just come to Me. I will give you rest. That's the only rest we'll find. But then even as God's people, we get restless in life. We get distracted and we get a lot of noise. And I believe that's what he is going for here, to get our attention. Now, as you see there in your outline, noise is produced by creating a disturbance. Noise in the physical realm consists of waves, whether that's sound waves, you know, or even waves throw an object in the water and you see the ripples, the effect going out. There's a disturbance there, and that causes a lot of a movement and causes a stirring. But the noise that we're talking about is the noise in the soul that consists of thoughts. Now, as we look at that, we're going to talk about some specific thoughts that come to mind. But the noise of the soul consists of thoughts. Now, here's the thing we got to do in this. We got to examine the thoughts. What are we thinking about daily? What is going through our mind? Because we need to be in touch with our type of thinking. I like what Adrian Rogers said the other day. He thought it was just really good. He said, it's not, it's more dangerous to believe the wrong thing than to do the wrong thing. And this is what he meant. He explained. He said, if you believe the wrong thing about God, you know, in that case, he said, you're going to always do the wrong thing. You're going to be off track every time. But doing the wrong thing, but at the same time as you're believing the right thing, it can help bring you back on track each time. You see what I mean? So, in other words, you have an anchor. In other words, you have a lighthouse. You have a point that's fixed. You have an absolute that will bring you back on track if you believe the right thing. But if we don't have the right thoughts about who God is and who we are before God, we're going to continually be on the wrong path. And that's dangerous. And I would agree with Brother Adrian Rogers that it is more dangerous to believe the wrong thing, because it will always lead you astray. But we see here that we must examine our thoughts. We must be in touch with our thoughts. Now, here's one thing we are really good at. And I say we because it's every one of us. We're really good at being in touch with our feelings. You ask somebody how you feel, well, they'll tell you very quickly, well, I am mad. Won't believe that preacher had it 50 degrees in that auditorium when we came in tonight. I'm just kidding. That guy cut me off or whatever, or this, they said this to me, did this to me. We can relate how we feel very quickly. But you know, a lot of things we don't do is we do not talk about our thoughts. Because how you feel is a result of how you think. And so, why are we always so focused on how we feel? Because that's not the most important thing. We want to get the focus on our thinking. What are we thinking about? When I'm tempted to be mad and angry, well, what's my thoughts there? My thoughts are thoughts of bitterness. Thoughts of resentment. You know? That's the thoughts. And so what they're producing these feelings. Well, what if I started meditating on love and grace and forgiveness? What if those were my thoughts? And then that's going to produce something differently, isn't it? Those are going to produce some different feelings. That's why I had great advice in Bible school. It said, look, you know, I had one teacher that encouraged us all the time. Look, don't worry about the feelings. The feelings will come. Just obey. Do the Word of God. You don't feel like reading your Bible? That doesn't matter. Read your Bible. The feelings will come. You want to read your Bible? Hey, you don't feel like praying? That's all right. You're not a hypocrite. Go ahead and pray. The feelings will come. Because really, we want our thoughts to be where they need to be. And that's why that Bible teacher told me that. We need the Word of God to get our thoughts where they need to be. We need prayer to get our thoughts where they need to be. But that is something that we're hoping going to do through this, is examining our thoughts. Okay, so what does noise in the soul look like? Well, notice the words that he uses there in Matthew 11:28, when he says, "Come unto me," which is a call to come to Christ. He says, "All ye that labor and heavy laden." I want to look at that word labor first. That word labor means to be beaten down. Well, we have days like that, don't we? Some of you tonight, I might be speaking to you and you feel like you've been beat down. And we all have those days. Whether we're beaten down ourselves or someone else, or just feel that oppression, Jesus is speaking to us, brethren. He's speaking to us. You who feel like you just got beat up, come. Come to me. Don't you love that message from our Lord? He says, come. The weariness of taking a beating, to be pummeled, is the idea of there, to labor. That word labor means to be pummeled. To be knocked down. I can think of whether it be a storm, or I like sports. I like boxing. And boy, there's sometimes, and I don't watch UFC as much, but boxing I do like. But even in UFC, man, I tell you, you get some crazy fights there. And sometimes these guys get hit just right and they get knocked down. And then the opponent, of course, he takes advantage. And boy, that's when he really starts going at it. And it's just getting pummeled, you know, and sometimes we feel like that in life. We feel like we're just getting beat up, and Jesus is noticing that, and he's saying, that's why I'm calling out to you, come to me. And then not only this idea of labor, but notice what the noise can look like, this idea of heavy laden. What does that mean? It means to be overloaded. Anybody ever here feel overloaded? You just feel like, boy, this is way too much for me to function. I can't function while this is going on in my life. I can't even think straight. I can't even respond right. I'm ill. I'm grumpy. And I'm just not reasonable. Anybody ever been there? We all have. Jesus is saying, come to me. Come. I am telling you to come. All ye that are getting pummeled, all that you feel like you're getting beat up, perhaps spiritually, all you that feel overloaded. I got concerned the other day. I put a bunch of wood in the back of my truck, just trying to get some firewood. Mr. Dean so kind of let me get a tree that fell on his property. So I cut it up, and I think I got too much in the back of the truck. And I hadn't cut it up, but I had the big round pieces, and I think I had probably 8 huge pieces. I mean, they were this big around, and had them on there. And man, I tell you what, going down the road, it felt scary. I couldn't get over 30, or the truck felt like it was just going to go. And I tried not to look a side view of my truck, because I just knew that some axle was going to bust. But it was overloaded, and I was fearful going down the road. In fact, I'm going to just be very transparent with you. I was going down the road, and I was like, Lord, please just let me make it to the house. I was like, Lord, I'm overloaded. I'm fearful and of what's going to do to my truck. And sometimes we feel that way with life. Things going on in our lives, whether it be a struggling marriage, whether it be a strained relationship, whether it be an addiction, whether it be anxiety, it's there. And it can make us feel overloaded. But the truth is, the matter is, we see here that Jesus is telling us to come. Now, what noises disturb your soul, robbing it of rest and peace? You'll see there, I'm not going to go through all of those, but they're right there in your handout. And maybe if you want to for yourself, you don't have to do it right now, but I would encourage you maybe to underline a couple of those that are specific to you. And keep in your Bible and pray over those things. You know, look up verses of Scripture that deal with those things and say, Lord, I want my thoughts to be right to combat these tendencies. And you see those under verse number 2. Now, I want to show you something interesting here about the idea of going to God with our burdens. Now, hold your place there in Matthew. And would you go over back to the book of Psalms with me, Psalm 40? Psalm 40. I'm just going to ask somebody that's got a good loud voice if they could read Psalm 40, verses 1 and 2. Anybody, whoever gets to it, you can sound out so everybody can hear it. Psalm 40. Can you say a little louder, sister? Amen. The psalmist here, he waited patiently on the Lord, and notice the second part of verse 1. And he, referring to God, inclined unto me and heard my cry. Again, I did not see this point vividly until I heard Brother Berg teaching on this. And he explained it that, and he made this statement, God's inclination is to hear you and me. That is awesome. It's like if you can envision our God is inclined. He's wanting to hear us call out to Him. He's interested. His inclination is to come towards us and to help us in those times of being beaten down and troubled. And He wants us to call out with those burdens. And so we know that they do. And you see those examples there. And may God help us to be honest about those. As you go through those, I hope you'll be very honest. Of what of those noises really has a place in your life that's robbing you of the rest and peace. And I trust that we'll all be honest there and make that a focus. But I find it interesting, as you notice there, all these noises collected together are deafening. I mean, notice with me, if you go over to the book of John, we can flip back over there. You got your place in Matthew, but go to the book of John, chapter number 14. John chapter 14, the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. All right, notice with me verse number 27. All right, can somebody read that one out loud? I get a volunteer to read that one. Anybody? Amen. All of these sounds are deafening and stand in stark contrast of the peace that our Master offers. And again, notice you don't just read over it. When He says, I'm leaving you with peace, that's Jesus was going to leave. He's going to leave us the Holy Spirit. He said, peace I give unto you, but He makes it very clear. Not as the world giveth. Please don't miss it. There is a peace that the world offers. There is a peace that the world offers. That's what Jesus is saying here. I'm going to give you a peace, but it's not like the world's peace. The world will give peace, self-medicating through alcohol and drugs, through worry, anxiety, through anger and bitterness, through pride. You see, those are the noises that we look for to try to find peace. And we bring all these noises into our lives that just make it worse. And Jesus Christ is saying here, that's not the peace I'm offering. The peace I'm looking to give to you and you and you and you and you and you and you, it's not what the world is offering. My peace is real. My peace is pure. And you don't need to let your heart be troubled, and you don't need to be afraid, because I am giving you peace. So we notice here also, what are the dangers of noise in the soul? Well, we could go into details about that, but we know that it does great damage to the body. We know it causes sleepless nights. We know it causes sometimes weight gain. Sometimes it causes weight loss. Sometimes it causes blood pressure issues and heart problems and go down the line. Psychological things, and it can cause a lot of damage to the body, folks. And where people are in serious trouble because of all the noise that they're allowing to just captivate them in their lives. And we've been there. But then the other danger is not only is destruction to the body, but we know that it reflects an alienation from God. Because when we walk with God, there is going to be a peace in our lives. It didn't. Then I notice what I didn't say, because I always want to clarify this. Notice that I didn't say that there would be ease in your life or my life, in the sense of there's going to be no opposition. There's going to be opposition, but the inner peace that God gives, and that's what we're talking about. Remember, we're talking about the noise in our soul. How noisy is it in our soul, in our thinking? God wants to give us peace in our thinking, no matter what our circumstances are on the outside. So what is God's cure for the noisy soul? Well, notice what he says. He says, come to me, doesn't he? He says, come to me. So at that point, the heart has two choices. The heart has two choices. You can jot these down if you'd like. The heart has two choices. Either we have a Godward gaze, all right? And Brother Jim Berg says that this is the essence, of faith, all right? This Godward gaze is the essence of faith. But then there's the second choice. There's the self-dependent focus, which is the essence of unbelief. The essence of unbelief. So in other words, when we have the noisy soul, we want a Godward gaze. And that's what we're doing tonight. I believe with all my heart, you have come to this church tonight. I do believe this about everybody. And those of you tuning in live stream, and those that will listen to this message later, I believe with all my heart that you have come to increase your Godward gaze. And I want to commend you for that. Because that's where we find God, isn't it? In the Word of God. And we are here together and we want to increase that Godward gaze to strengthen us for the journey. But what happens a lot of times is that we refuse to read our Bibles, we refuse to go to church, and we remain disgruntled. And it is possible, by the way, I don't want to sound like just because you come to church, you're gonna automatically be that way. But the truth of the matter is, a lot of times we start shunning those things because we are self-dependent. We have a self-dependent focus, and there's not going to be any peace in our lives. Now, let me read this just so that I'm not accused of being heretical here as I read this verse. OK, so I just wanted to preface, this is not the Word of God that I'm going to read. OK, this is called the Reversed Standard Version. OK, this is going to give the opposite of the truth that Jesus is teaching. Now listen to this. This is the Reversed Standard Version of Matthew 11, 28 and 30. Listen. Avoid me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will deny you rest. Refuse my yoke of fellowship and abiding, and refuse to learn what I am like in order to become like me, and ye shall find noise in your soul. That's exactly what would happen if we do not take the literal Word of God to be true. Right there, what Jesus is saying is the message we have. It is, come to me, and not only come to me, but you know what he's saying, church? He's saying, come and be like me. Be like me, he's saying. And he is one that we can follow for sure. Notice what it says here when he is describing back to our passage in Matthew chapter 11 there. He's going to describe himself. He's going to give a few characteristics here in Matthew chapter 11. I'm flipping there. All right. So we see here, first of all, he says, take my yoke upon you. He says, and learn of me. In other words, that yoke there is from what I understand, is just like fitted for us. And it is to be just for us to be linked with him, a perfect fit with our Lord. And he says, and learn of me. We are his disciples. We are learning of our Lord. What do we need to learn from our Lord that he's saying here? This is what he's saying. Learn about that I am meek. What does this word meek mean? Well, this word meek means to be governed, to be controlled. And that is something that we have to realize in our minds when we go to the noise factor. Am I being controlled by the noise, by the circumstances, by these things, or am I being controlled by the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I seeking to be like Him in this matter? I believe with all my heart that, again, the Lord Jesus Christ was facing many things in his life. But he didn't show. He only had 3.5 years of ministry here on this earth. But we don't see, at least in any way, and I don't believe there any was, because he was perfect and he demonstrated this because he was under full control all the time. But he was not frantic in any way. Even though he had 3.5 years, he was not scurrying around saying, "Did you do this? Did you do that? What's going on here? Why have you done that? What is this? That. You know, it was not, there was not a spirit of someone that was crowded by noise and distracted by noise. He was meek. He was governed by the Spirit of God. He was anointed and empowered. And he set that example there. And he said, come be like me. Now, one of the things that Jim Bird pointed out, made this statement, the godfather of noise makers is pride. The godfather of noise makers is pride. That's what goes against us. And boy, there's a list that we could go through there, is there not? I don't want to do that. This is what I want to do. And we can make comments about like things that we want to do for ourselves and what we think about this. And that is not being governed by God. And then we see that self is a relentless noisemaker. Is it not? I want my way. No. This is the way I'm going to do it. You don't tell me what to do. This is not right. I've done everything right. This person hadn't done anything right. What's that? What's the justice? I always get the short end of the deal. It's always on me. And then there's just this just rebellion against the noise and against the circumstance in their life and my life. And then we get disgruntled. And then we are not, as we see here, people of peace, people of rest. I don't know about you, but as a Christian, I want to be known as a person who is at rest, who has a restful soul, who has a spirit of dependence upon God. Not that, you know, we're human. We make mistakes, folks, but we got to realize that we can't be controlled by these noises in our life as the children of God. And so we go and seek to do that. Self is a relentless noisemaker. It's like a hungry, unweaned infant on his mother's lap who is crying and pitching a fit, making a bunch of noise. And I want my food right now, my way. And, you know, it's interesting how the psalmist brought this out in an illustration to show us in the Word of God about how the opposite of that is somebody who is quieted and rested and just trust in the Lord. Notice with me very quickly over at Psalm 131. Notice real quick, just go back to Psalm 131. This is really important to look at. So if you would look at there with me, Psalm 131. Notice this short psalm. All right. Psalm 131, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Now get verse 2. Surely I have behaved and, what is that next word? Quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. The noise factor. He said, Lord, I'm not letting the noise factor control my life. Of these things that you've already know in your own life, but even as you looked under number 2, you saw several of those. Yeah, that's me. And the goal is to be in fellowship with God. Because don't miss it. If I fail to convey this truth tonight, church, I have failed as a teacher. Understand the truth that Jesus is teaching about the yoke. He's teaching fellowship with God. That's how we have a quieted soul. It is in yoke with Christ. He is saying those that are getting beat up, those that are feeling overloaded, those are feeling like failures, those are feeling like I can't do it. He's the one that we're the ones He is talking to. And what our Lord is saying is come and yoke up with me, walk in fellowship with me, and you are going to find a quiet soul. You're going to find it. You're going to get it. God's going to give it. What a wonderful truth to hang on tonight, to grab, to meditate on. And he says that he's meek, and then he goes on to say, be willing to be humble, because notice that term that Jesus uses back in our passage in Matthew chapter 11. He says, and not only is he going to be of a meek spirit, but he also says a lowly in heart, speaking again of his humility. Setting forth that pattern. For us, this kind of humility is measured by our growth in the Lord. Let me give you four growth points, and this may be a test. I always appreciated when my teacher in school and in Bible college would say, now, you might see this on a test. I always appreciated that. They take notes, highlight this. You might see this on a test. And it never failed that when I would get that test and I'd get it wrong and it'd be embarrassing because it never failed. The teacher would get up at the next week when they passed the grades out. Now he'll say, now I noticed some of you did not get the answer when I told you this was going to be on the test. So listen up. These are some growth points that we're looking for in our humility as the Lord Jesus. Number one, there's going to be a continual spirit of repentance towards God. Number one, continual spirit of repentance towards God. Secondly, there's going to be a continual spirit of dependence toward God. And even though Jesus was God Himself, He showed us several times, numerous times throughout the Word of God, is how He says, I don't do anything without my Father. And He showed a dependence upon the Father as an example. But we see, number two, a continual spirit of dependence toward God. And then, number three, we see a continual spirit of deference towards others. A continual spirit of deference towards others. And then number four, we see a continual spirit of service towards others. A continual spirit of service towards others. Because here's the thing, nobody in this room will ever, on this side of eternity, reach perfect humility. You know, it's like, you know, maybe you are making some good, humble decisions in your life. Well, you can't exactly share that, can you? I mean, that's kind of hard, isn't it? You know, we laughed about that, honestly. I don't know how many of you went to the Wilds last year. It was great. It was a series on pride and humility, and it was really good. But we kind of laughed about it coming back because we were all afraid to talk about that we really grew a lot, you know, because we didn't want to be prideful, you know. It's like, how do you tell? Hey, feeling more humble these days, you know. But nevertheless, there is a continual spirit of repentance towards God, dependence toward God. And then we see a deference towards others. In other words, deferring and giving people the benefit of the doubt and giving way for others before us. And then their service toward others. All right. So why don't somebody give me one of those that we just went through? Can somebody give me one? I'm sorry. Without looking at your notes, I'm sorry. I should have told you. I'm just kidding. You can look at your notes. Yep. Yep. That's right. What was another one? That was one. Service towards others. Repentance towards God. That's right. There's a fourth one. Dependence upon God. Folks, we can't do this without the Lord, can we? There is just no way. And so if you're feeling burdened right now, if you're feeling in any way, even with this lesson, you're like, I just don't know if I can do this. You are exactly the ones Jesus is saying, come to me. You walk with me, son. You walk with me, daughter. I'm going to take care of you. You're going to be all right. You're going to be at peace. And we see that the Lord Jesus is saying very clearly that you walk with me, you will avoid the noisy soul syndrome that plagues many believers. And we know that that is not God's will for our lives. So in conclusion, notice the statement at the bottom of your handout there. You must come to Christ and purpose to be like Him to quiet the noise in your soul. And so that is the desire of us as we go to the Lord, to look to Him, to be like Him, and to walk with Him. That is the goal.